everybody, to this segment of the Med Student Over Easy podcast, a podcast within EM Over Easy. I'm your host for today, Andy Little, and I'm joined by two awesome individuals, Justin Carlson. Justin, how are you?
Good. Thanks, Andy.
He is the program director at St. Vincent Hospital.
Allegheny Health Network.
And then Mary McLean, who I have the blessing and honor to work with at Advent Health, who's our current assistant program director.
Hello.
So this segment really is about the idea of research in medical school and how do medical students run that gauntlet of how involved do I get? How uninvolved do I get? And so we wanted to talk about best practices and tips and tricks for medical students when it comes to research. When you hear the phrase medical students in research, let's say in emergency medicine, what comes to your mind?
I guess when I hear that, I think of some folks who are very eager, very interested. And I guess I would step back for a minute and first, for people who might be interested, say, why are you interested? What are you hoping to get out of the research experience? And second, make sure that you have somebody who can help guide you and mentor you through the process, because as we'll probably explore in the next little bit here, research ranges from a small case report all the way up to multi-year longitudinal studies and everything in between. And so for someone who hasn't done it before, who hasn't been involved, it can feel daunting. It can be very overwhelming, and you may not even know where to start. So having somebody there that is a mentor that can guide you through it is really important.
I echo that. My first gut reaction when I hear medical student trying to get involved in research is it's kind of this area that they know they want to be involved with, but they don't really know how to get started. And it really is one of those things that starts snowballing as soon as you have planted the seed, but it's really hard to kind of get your feet wet and find that person who can mentor you and maybe either find a project to jump on or create your own project and actually get it up and running. So
it's interesting. Let's talk about the range for a second, because I think one thing from a medical student perspective is they think research, and they probably have an understanding of what research was in undergrad, which is a ton of bench research. It's a ton of paperwork. It's a long-term commitment. And I think that probably actually shies a lot of people away from doing a form of research in medical school. So when you guys were in medical school and you said, hey, I want to do research, is that how you felt?
Yes, definitely. And it actually, so I did a little bit of bench research in undergrad, and it was exactly like you're saying. It was a lot of paperwork. It was a lot of microscopes and a lot of like looking at things and pathology slides and then figuring out how to translate that into a manuscript. And the idea of diving into that when I was knees deep in clinical rotations and trying to do very well on those rotations was really daunting, especially given the fact that, you know, it's probably highest yield to get involved by the end of your third year so that you can have a little bit of something on your CV by the time you apply for residency. So the whole idea of trying to do that either during the preclinical years or during the first of the two clinical years when you're just continuously on rotation was extremely daunting.
Yeah, exactly that, right? To try to build this into your already busy 4 years during medical school can be a challenge. And the primary responsibility is to graduate successfully, become physician, get into residency. And research is one of those things that can add to a resume, but don't let it take away from all the other responsibilities and learning that you do. This, and to help with that, one of the things that we've done is we've organized a med student rotation between first and second year. So that time where there is a little bit of a break for folks who really want to dive in, really want to spend that X number of weeks really getting into it. Absolutely. There are other ways to do it interwoven with, you know, second, third, fourth year. It just depends on the level of involvement that you want to have with it.
Yeah, I think you guys talk about timing, that to where it's, to me, it's the first year of medical school is the first year of medical school. And unless if your school has a summer research program you can apply to in the spring of the year, I would not think about research at all. And I remember having classmates like, oh, I got to find a research project. And it's like, I'm just going to pass the block. Like, I'm just worried about cardiovascular this month and pulmonary this month. And so it's focused on getting good grades. But there does come a time where you can now put it on your radar. You know, if you get lucky, you can do one of those summer research experiences. I've sponsored a couple over the years, and they're actually really fun. Usually, you're partnering with a large academic center. It's going to be, I call them pocket projects, where it's takes 30 days to do start to complete. And those are super easy, low-hanging fruit. You can usually present those in other places. But when you think about, like, as a medical student, if I don't have any research experience, where's the best place to start kind of in the scholarly activity research realm?
What I would start is connect with a mentor, connect with somebody, meet with your attendings. If you're not even sure who in the Department of Emergency Medicine does research, ask the residents. Start by asking questions, and you'll quickly get to the couple of folks in the department that are the research gurus who are really involved and really do those things. And that really oftentimes only takes one or two series of questions to get in touch with that individual. Then you can sit down, talk with them, and exactly find out what those pocket projects are. What are they? When are they starting? What's the right time? How can I work this in? Because again, if you haven't done this before, it's very much like doing various procedures. If you haven't done a central line before, as attendings, we would never ask someone to go in and do that on their own, not having done it, not having seen it. Heard they need to do it in emergency medicine, right? Oh yeah, I need to know how to put in an IJ. We would never ask them to do that on their own.
That's a really good point.
Right? So instead, meet with someone, have them guide you through and walk you through the process and be there over your shoulder as you're going through that.
I like the idea of baby steps. You know, the first research project that you get involved with does not have to be that, you know, that project that has a manuscript in WestJEM that is a clinical, you know, innovation or a randomized controlled trial. I really like the idea of the case reports, especially because of the good timing, either in a longitudinal rotation in your first or second years of med school, or more likely during the rotations in your third year of medical school. There is bound to be a case that's worthy of being written up. And you're not going to be seeing that patient in isolation. You've got an attending on that case, you've got other residents or maybe fellows on that case. And chances are somebody that's on that team has some experience writing up at least one case report. And chances are they're interested in jumping onto a small project with writing up a case report because it's great scholarly activity for them. Just, you know, take down the patient information, be sure to get consent if there's any kind of a clinical image, go through your institution's policies for getting that patient consent, and offer to be the person that spearheads writing up the case report. And you should be able to be first author on that. And then you'll get the support that you need from your mentoring authors.
Yeah, I think I've always chimed in that case reports are an underutilized piece of, like, scholarly work that you can go after. It's low-hanging fruit. It actually does not take a ton of time. You're talking 2 or 3 hours doing a good lit review to see, is this case valuable? When was the last time it was published? Where was it published? What about your case is odd? And then just look at the patient chart. Most of the stuff you need in the case report's there. Like, the HPI gives you the beginning. It's, you can throw it together pretty easily. And then I think on top of that, the other big thing about case reports is they're easily presented places. Like, it's one of those where, yes, with research projects, I have found that you have to kind of pick the right research project for the right competition, for the right conference, where case reports, almost every conference has a case report section. And they usually kind of take most cases to where it can be on a state level, a national level, or, you know, in and out of emergency medicine, because there's conferences all the time. Everybody's looking for case reports. And so it's something where you can do a little bit of work and get a ton of traction out of actually presenting it.
And those tend to be competitions too. And so if you decide you want to take it to the next level and really do very well on this case report, you can be competitive and you could get, you know, you could get an award from that too.
So. One other thing I would say, and this is back to the mentor piece, is we've done this right around the table. We've done this before. And having that person there, once you realize the general routine structure of a case report, there's one of my faculty, she publishes multiple every year. So whenever a student has something that they're, great, go to her. She does this. She has a formula almost. And I hate to make it sound so simplistic or algorithmic, but there really is a process to it. Same way when you do a research project that has a, you know, population intervention control outcome kind of form to it, there's again a structure that once you realize that most of these projects have that form, that really helps a lot.
Yeah, it's even to the point where I have a case report template to where a student says, hey, I want to write a case report. I'm like, well, here's a template that I've used dozens of times and gotten published in multiple places. So plug and play. And it, again, not to make it sound easy, but it's not hard once you figure out what are journals looking for, what makes them accepted, and then you can just kind of rinse and repeat. So when we think about the way it looks on an application, so let's move to that part. So you've decided, I'm a medical student. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to go present at some places. When you review applications, which we all currently are, there's a specific tab just for research experience. What does that mean to you as somebody in a program that said, they decided to do something in med school?
I would say it adds to the application in a way that is exciting. It's interesting. It's something else on top. It's not the bulk of the application, though, for me when I'm reviewing it. I'm still looking at other things, the standard letter of evaluation, how well they did on various rotations, their personal statement. There are lots of other segments that carry much more weight for me. And I'm a researcher. I did a research fellowship. I really like this stuff. It's interesting. It shows me that that individual took some extra time and some dedicated their own time to doing the, whatever project or projects are doing, but it's not the bulk of the application from my standpoint.
I would agree, especially when we're trying to do a more holistic application review. I look at all the sections on those applications, and I want to know that not only did medical students do well in school and on their rotations and hopefully on test scores as well, but more importantly, they did something extra and meaningful with their time in medical school in terms of extracurricular activities. Now, that can be work or volunteering or research or other projects like educational projects and things like that. And so I want to know that there was something that medical students did with their time outside of class and rotations during medical school. Research is one of many ways to show that. And I get really excited when I see a couple of things listed in the research section, because it's undeniable that they've done extra things in med school.
So I guess the next question there is that when you look in that section, how, if you were to weight it, so research in undergrad and research in medical school, do those carry different weights for you when you actually put them in the equation?
Yes, I would say the more recent the research was, the heavier I weight it. And one of the big reasons for that is not only does it add to your recent experience, but it is probably more likely that you're going to continue that on into medical school if you had, you know, some kind of a project or a publication or a presentation in 2022 as opposed to back in 2015.
Yeah, agreed. Undergraduate, like we were talking about before, could be any number of things. You're pipetting, you're, you know, mixing chemicals together, you're growing zebrafish, whatever it is, right? And so that's one very specific aspect of it. On the other side, asking the clinical questions and being able to develop a hypothesis in the clinical space is a different skill set. And so if you've done research in medical school where you've asked those types of questions, that carries more weight for me than the undergrad piece.
And I would maybe add to that, that knowing that you did it in medical school, I actually have a better idea of what your authorship role was, where in undergrad, I did research in undergrad where anybody on the project got to be authored. You know, your involvement widely varied, where if you wrote a case report, that means you saw a patient, you did the lit review. I know what that looks like on a consistent basis, where the other, there's so many other variables of what that could look like.
Right. And your life in undergrad is much different than your life during med school. And I would venture to say that your life in med school is going to be more similar to your life in residency and beyond than it was back in undergrad. And so, again, this is just indications that you're going to carry this on into residency and beyond.
So I want to ask a couple questions. When we talk about research, do you view a case report, say, the same way you would a double-blinded NIH study for a medical student?
No,
but if a medical student has authorship on a, which I know some folks have, it's just very, very unusual to be involved in the prospective randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial.
Yeah, I would say that is definitely the very rare medical student that has, you know, any kind of a grant funded project, or even if it isn't published yet, has any involvement on that kind of a project. It's definitely not the expectation. I would say case reports are wonderful, and that is more kind of in line with what we can expect to see coming out of medical students who are you know, near graduation.
Yeah, that's much more the person who played basketball in high school who went on to then play professionally, right? Like, yes, that happens for some folks, and that's great.
Most of us are playing in pickup leagues after that.
Yes, exactly. So there's going to be small involvement in small projects, and that's fine. That's understandable. That's acceptable.
One thing I'll add is that when I look at applications, I love when I see something, because that also tells me that's one less skill I have to like teach you, to where if you've got good boards, good letters. Oh, and then the cherry on top is you've done a case report, you've been involved in a couple projects, you've written some stuff somewhere. That's a skill that you come bring to the table, and that's one less resident I have to convince to want to do scholarly work, or I have to teach how to do it, versus somebody who comes in with nothing and it's, you could know all that stuff, but I don't know that you know it.
It's skill and drive too, because it says a lot about, you know, we recognize that medical school is very, very busy. And if you're able to fit this priority in with your medical school responsibilities, that shows us a lot about your drive.
So what would be some take homes if you're advising a medical student about doing research? What would they be for you?
I would probably say the two things that we started with. One is, this is something that you can do, but you don't necessarily have to do during medical school. And so understanding why you want to be involved in research in the first place, I think, is really key. And not feeling pressured to do research as the only additional scholarly activity or the only outside activity. So just understanding your why. And then the second one is, there are lots of folks who are in this space. Many of us have done this. We want to help. Find a mentor, find somebody who can help guide you through the process so that you're not out there trying to figure all of it out on your own. All of us have helped multiple medical students, multiple residents with their projects, and would be happy to do that.
I would echo that as well. I think probably the most important thing is to find a mentor, and also recognize that the mentor that you find may not necessarily need to be somebody within your own institution who you have, you know, who you spend a lot of face-to-face time with. If you sign up for EM organizations and sign up for listserv messages, a lot of times there are calls for participants for research projects that come out on those listserv messages. So I would say get connected with your EM community beyond your internal institution. Connect via those listservs and EM organizations and also social media and, you know, friends of friends. See if there are any projects you want to jump on, but also recognize that if you have a project idea that you want to take from the ground up, that's also very possible as long as you have strong mentorship.
So I want to thank both of you for hopping on for this segment. If you're a medical student listening, please go to the show notes for this episode. There's going to be some great links on great primers and other information you can get about starting research projects in medical school. And then we'll also have the contact information for Justin and for Mary, so you guys can reach out if you have any other questions. Well, thanks for making it all the way to the end of that Med Student Over Easy episode. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or head on over to our blog, emovereasy.com. Also, don't forget, we are the official podcast for the American College of Osteopathic Emergency Physicians. You can learn more about this great organization by heading to acoep.org, where you can find about an upcoming CME event where you might get to see a few of your EM Over Easy hosts live and in person for a show. Until next time, thanks so much.